Well, we've been talking about, we started last week with an overview of the growth series, the vision series that we have here at North Point. We're talking about where we're going and what we're doing and what we're about. It's good, we've talked about it in the past, but we're going to talk about it again, and we're going to emphasize some various aspects of growth and what it means to grow. This morning, we're going to talk about growth. We will grow. That's kind of the theme of it this morning, is we will grow. We're on a journey together. We're looking for that direction that we're going to go. Last week, I talked to you about my debacle at Riley Trails, where I got lost. How many of you remember that story? Oh, it was good. I'll tell you, it was good. And it's on the internet. If you didn't catch it, you can hear it at www.hollandnorthpoint.org. Downloads, and then just click on the message that you want to hear. But we're on a journey together. We're growing together as a church. There are signposts along the way. One of the things that we need to do is to all be on the same page. Last week, we handed out a piece of paper, and I put on there, North Point exists too. And then I had you fill that out, and we got all kinds of very good responses. All of them. I went through them again before I put this message together. But all of them were very biblically based. They were all good. But they were kind of all across the board and emphasized different things. What we need to know as a church body together. Why we're here. Where we're going. What we're trying to accomplish as a church. No church can do everything. That's one of the reasons we partner with Community Action House with things like this and other ministries here in town. Because we can't reach the number of people that people like Community Action House can, but we can support them. We can be part of what they're doing, and they're doing it well. They're doing it consistently. And so we're supporting them to reach areas that we can't reach on our own. We need that direction. We need that focus. We talked about having a map and having a compass that tells us when we're on true north and when we're heading in the right direction. And what we've been doing is talking about those things, and this morning we're going to talk about growth. That's one of the things that we're about, and I've titled the message this morning, We Will Grow. Now, what do you think about when I use that phrase, we will grow? Well, for most of us, it's kind of a numerical kind of thing. It's we average 130 on Sunday morning or whatever we average on Sunday morning, and next year we're going to average 140, so we're growing. We're having more people in Sunday morning service than we had last week. That's usually what we think about when we talk about growing. Now, the problem with that kind of growth, the problem with thinking about that kind of growth, is that there are churches in this country that are growing exponentially that are not preaching the gospel. Growth is not necessarily a sign of health. What we want is a church that is healthy and have healthy growth. So what we're going to talk about this morning is growing personally. You know, I could advertise next Sunday, we're giving away $20 to everybody that comes through the door. How many of you think we'd have some visitors next Sunday? How many of you would try to get in twice? Okay, at least you're honest about that. We can give away money, we can do gimmicks and grow and all of that kind of stuff. But one of the joys of Sandy and my life was the birth of our children, our three boys. I can recall distinctly all of their births. I mean, I was there for it, and it was exciting. It was a different kind of exciting for Sandy, I can tell you that. But it was exciting. It held the promise of new life, and I remember just that exhilaration that I felt when I was at that birth of our children, because I expected them to grow. I expected them to grow up. Sometimes we go through old albums and we relive those years. And yes, young people, there is such a thing called a photograph. That's not on a computer. They're in little books that we call albums that you can page through and look at. And now we take digital pictures of our photographs so that we have them on record. It's just kind of a weird thing for me, but whatever. But we go through those and we look at those pictures, those baby pictures. And then we look at pictures of them as a toddler. And then we look at pictures of them on their first day of school, standing there outside the bus with their little lunch bucket. And one of our boys had a California raisin lunch bucket that he just loved. How many of you remember the California raisins? Yeah, he had that in kindergarten, and he's standing there looking so cute. I won't tell you which one. It might be Eli, but I won't tell you which one. My mountain man boy now, you know, the full beard and all that kind of stuff. Sporting events. All of our kids were involved in sports to one degree or another, and we have pictures of all of that, and it's so great. Graduation, marriage, jobs, all of that kind of stuff is you know, we love the fact that our boys are grown up. That's great. We love the fact that they're grown up. Sometimes when we hold a little baby or a toddler in our arms, we whisper in their ear, "Don't ever grow up." But we don't really mean that. That's kind of a selfish kind of thought that we have. You know, we just want them to stay, well, controllable. You know, you can lasso them when they're at that age, but when they get bigger, they're harder to lasso. But we really don't want them not to grow up, because growth is healthy, it's normal, it's rewarding. Every stage of life has its challenges and has its blessings that come with it. But if you have a child that isn't growing, there's something wrong. It's not normal for a child not to grow up. When we talk about growing in our mission and our vision statements, we're talking about spiritual growth, not necessarily numerical growth. We're going to worry about that second or third even in the list of things that we worry about. But what we want to do are be people that are growing both as a church and as an individual. And one of the missions of the church is to make disciples. It's the heart of spiritual growth that we are about. So we will grow. Our mission statement says this: North Point exists to grow spiritually strong people. That's what we're about. We're about growing spiritually strong people who share God's love by building relationships and living a life that pleases God. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, shouldn't our first thing be about winning others to Christ? Yes, it should. But the truth of the matter is, when you grow spiritually strong people, what happens? They begin to share the love of Jesus Christ with others. People get saved. People get brought into the church. Growth occurs numerically when spiritual growth happens. You cannot grow spiritually and not be evangelistic. It's just incongruent with itself. It has to go together. So North Point exists to grow spiritually strong people. Our vision statement says, North Point Assembly of God is a group of spiritually strong believers. What we want people to see when they come into North Point, they look at us as a group, as a body of believers, are a bunch of maturing Christians that are growing strong in the things of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about that. In Hebrews, the writer says that we must go on to the meat of the gospel, the meat of the Word of God, no longer taking on milk. Now, I like milk as much as the next person, but I also like a good steak. And I'm not going to live long on milk. I'll probably get fat and fatter than I already am, and, you know, just worse off if all I did was drink milk. You got to go on to other things. As a child grows up, they want a little bit of they want a hot dog. They want some mac and cheese. They want some, you know, and then as they grow older, our kids really seem to enjoy stuff like broccoli and Brussels sprouts and stuff like that. Weird, I know, strange. But perhaps they saw me consuming them in mass quantities and decided to be like their dad. I don't know. But your taste, you grow, you get stronger, you don't stay on milk the whole time. And when people come into North Point, we want them to see spiritually strong, mature people. That's what we're about. We're about growing spiritually strong people. And that includes you, that includes me. I want to grow spiritually. Well, wait a minute, you're the pastor. Yeah. I'm not where I should be. I'm not where I'm going. I'm not finished yet. I want to continue to grow. I want to be more like Jesus tomorrow than I was today. That's something that God expects of me and wants me to have, and I want every one of you to have that too. Excuse me. So we've got this grow, share, live, love theme that we're talking about, and that kind of encapsulates everything that our mission statement and our vision statement are about. We're going to grow together, we're going to share God's love together, we're going to live together, and we're going to love everyone that comes into our path. If we can fulfill those four ideas in this church, we will be a healthy church. And that's the goal. We want to be a healthy church. We want to be well-rounded Christians. We want to be people that have these purposes at our heart. And we're going to do our dead level best to incorporate these into everything you hear about here at the church. When we're sitting in our staff meetings, we're putting events together. We're seeing, trying to find out what God's direction is for the next step of the church. We're going to look at these things, grow, share, live, love. And we're going to say, does that fit? Is that part of the purpose that God has for us? If it doesn't, we'll throw it out. If it does, we'll go for it. We're going to grow and share and live and love. Now, let me just say something about these four ideas. We are linear thinkers. And most of the time, we think, this next slide kind of puts it up there like that. It's the slide with two, there we go. Most of us think, you know, first we'll grow, then we'll share, then we'll live, then we'll love. You know, we'll kind of work on them in order. But really what we need to see, and what you're going to see as I preach these messages, is that all of these mix and mingle and slither back and forth and just kind of blend together into this picture over here. Sharing and living together always kind of work in, and you can't tell where one ends and one takes up. That's one of the problems that I had, because my primary spiritual gift is teaching. I want everything to make sense. A plus B plus C equals D, and you know, go like that. But I kept finding myself drifting off from growing into sharing and sharing into living and living into loving, because they all have so much in common with each other. And you're going to discover as we begin living out these grow, share, live, love aspects to our life that they just kind of slip and slide back and forth. And sometimes you begin with loving somebody, and then it grows into sharing with somebody. And, you know, so there's really no linear kind of thing with this. And hopefully you see that. So let's talk about growing. Let's talk about what it means to grow as a church. First of all, the primary responsibility for growing lies in the gifts that God has given to the church in the forms of pastors, teachers, elders, deacons, prophets, and all of that kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, it says this. Now these are the gifts... excuse me. I don't need water or anything. I just need to quit drinking coffee so much in the morning. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and understanding of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Jesus Christ. This is the base of our grow aspect. This is where we're coming from. There are responsibilities and there's relationships that are part of everything that we do here at North Point. Number one, Paul talks about the provision. God has provided the church the means to grow. And that means to grow are the pastors and the teachers. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Those are the gifts to the church. So, happy birthday, happy anniversary, happy whatever, I'm your gift. You're laughing a little too hard about that. But God has given gifts to the church, and they're in the form of the leadership, the pastoral leadership of the church. Pastor Mike is a gift. Pastor Juanita is a gift. Pastor Matt is a gift. We're all the gifts of God to the church here at North Point. But it comes with a responsibility. And it says in Ephesians 4:12, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. That's what we're about. We are here to equip you. We are here to do the work of equipping. And that is the primary role of the pastor teacher in the church. That's what Pastor Mike does on Wednesday nights with our young people. He is equipping them to become ministers of the gospel. Now that term, minister of the gospel, we kind of narrow it down to what I'm doing right here, what a teacher does in the classroom. But that's not true. People that work in the kitchen are ministering the gospel. People that work in the nursery are ministering the gospel. People that work in small groups, and when you attend a small group, you are ministering the gospel. Whatever you do as unto the Lord is the ministry of the gospel. We've got to broaden our understanding of what it means to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then we need to do it. We've got to broaden our understanding, and then we need to do it. We're here to do that for you and with you. That's why you're going to see some changes that happen. You're going to see small groups emphasize more and more. And folks, I can't emphasize enough that we need small groups. Sunday school is a small group. Tuesday night men's Bible study and women's Bible study is small group. Sunday nights, as they're starting up again in September, is small group. They are as necessary for your spiritual growth as Sunday morning is. It's a whole different perspective on ministering the gospel, but those things are necessary for you to grow spiritually. Those are all things that we're equipping people to do. We've got some of the best teachers in town right here at North Point. And I believe there's even more that are here at North Point that just aren't involved yet because they haven't been equipped by us yet. And one of the things that we want to do is to, number one, help you find where God has called you to ministry. It might be in graphic arts. We're desperately in need of someone to work in graphic arts for the church. The internet medium, the web page, all that kind of stuff. We would love to hand all that stuff off and train you to do it and hand it off to you. Office help, just nursery help. All of that kind of stuff is stuff that we can equip and train you to do. And that's our job. Our responsibility is to equip God's people, and that's what we have to answer to God for. The staff and I have to answer to God for that. Now, I got to tell you, it is a struggle for a pastor to hand off ministry. Most pastors by nature are type A personalities. We think we can do it all. We do. And I can, but it's the... In most churches, the pastor becomes the bottleneck for ministry. It all has to go through him. And that limits ministry to one person. Now, that's okay when the church is 30, 40, 50 people. You can get away with that because, there's the pastor can pastor that group. Once it gets beyond that, and honestly, folks, this is the hardest lesson that I have to learn. My staff has to keep telling me this all the time. Why are you doing that? Well, because I want it to get done. You haven't asked anybody else to do it. Well, no one can do it as good as me. Now, I never say that, by the way, but I think it. It's our responsibility to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And what's the goal? The goal is that they continue until this will continue. This equipping ministry will continue until we all come to, number one, such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, so that we know Jesus so well, so that we are so intimate with Jesus Christ Himself, so close to Him, so much like Him. That's the question we've got to answer this morning. Are we growing more in the image of Jesus Christ today than we were yesterday? That's the question that only you can answer for yourself. Only I can answer that for myself. I tell people all the time, especially other pastors, you know what? Anybody can be good for an hour on Sunday morning. I see you at your best, hopefully. But what are you like on Monday morning? What are you like in the workplace? Are you more like Jesus in school? Are you more like Jesus in your relationship at home with your spouse and your children? What are you like when nobody's looking? That's what Chuck Swindoll said the definition of integrity is. Integrity is who you are when no one's watching. Are you growing spiritually? Are you becoming more like Jesus? So number one, this will continue until we reach such unity and knowledge of God's Son that we be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. What is Christ calling us to do? He's calling us to be like Him. And what is He? Perfect. Wait a minute. Jesus wants me to be perfect? It'd be nice. But I can't be perfect. That's right. But Christ in you can help you achieve that goal. You can be more perfect today. I understand. Sorry, English teacher. I understand more perfect is the wrong way to put it. But just play along with me, okay? You can be more perfect tomorrow than you were today, right? You can be more like Jesus than you were yesterday. That's what he's talking about, that growth that's happening into maturity and the full complete step. What does maturity mean? Well, maturity simply means this. It means you act like an adult. You act like a grown-up Christian. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be ups and downs in life. If I'm a mature Christian, then how come bad things are happening to me? I must not be mature. No, that's not what it means at all. How many of you know the rain falls on the just and the unjust? You know, there are some people that I look at in this church, and I know you well, and I know that you're going through difficulties and times, and I know you don't deserve it. And I have the same questions that you have. God, why them? But I do know this. Maturity determines their response to those situations. What do you turn to when you come into times of trial and temptation and difficulty? Do you turn to God? Do you get on your knees and pray? Do you throw a hissy fit? Do you go to the bottle? Do you go to the pillbox? Do you go out and just blow it all away because God doesn't care and nobody likes me and all of that kind of stuff? You need to read the book of Job sometime. Job got good and ticked off about his situation. But he never abandoned God. Never abandoned God. So it comes to this. Your responsibility is to pursue spiritual growth, to make it a priority. In Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, above all else. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need." That word seek, in the seek the kingdom of God, it is an action word. It doesn't mean that you sit back and wait for the kingdom to come to you. Well, if God wants me to do that, I guess He'll just have to open the door and show me all that. No, you seek God. You get into the Word. You spend time in prayer. You fellowship with others. And you minister what you know to the people around you. That's part of spiritual growth. By the way, one of the greatest ways that you grow is that you share with others what God is doing in your life. That's why teachers are so influential. That's why teachers seem to be so mature. You show me somebody, dear Pearl, how do you think she grew into such a godly woman? I'll tell you how she grew into such a godly woman. She didn't take a pill. You know, she taught Sunday school almost all of her life. She was a Sunday school teacher. Well, what does that mean about spiritual growth? Every week, she had to prepare a lesson for those kids, and it spoke into her life as much as it spoke into those children's lives. That's why I love teachers, because you can't give away what you don't got, and any good teacher is going to get so they can give. You may not think you're qualified to be a teacher. Great, we'll qualify you. You know, that's just part of the program. But one of the things that we need to do is seek the kingdom of God. Seek Him with all of your mind, with all of your heart, with all of your soul. In 2 Peter 3:18, it says this, "Rather, you must grow. You must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to Him, both now and forever. Amen." It's not optional for the follower of Christ that we just kind of coast into heaven. Heaven is not to be coasted into. It's the picture in Hebrews is one of a race that we're running. We're not just on a nice little walk, checking out everything along the way, enjoying ourselves, having a little picnic here and there. We are running and pursuing and stretching ourselves and running out of breath and in pain and suffering because we're working so hard. And then we enter into that glorious place. You know, you got all of heaven to rest. You've got maybe 70 years here if you're blessed. And we need to put them to good use. We need to be growing all of that time. You see how this blends into different areas? You know, we're talking about growth, but we're talking about sharing too, and you know, all that kind of stuff. You see the problem I have with this? See, you need to grow for a reason. There are good reasons for you to grow spiritually. First of all, God created you with a plan in mind. God created you with a plan for you to grow. He had a plan in mind. In Isaiah 49:5, it says, "And now the Lord speaks, the one who formed me in my mother's womb to be his servant, who commissioned me to bring Israel back to him. The Lord has honored me, and my God has given me strength." What is Isaiah saying here? He's saying, God had a plan for me from the time I was conceived, from the time that I was in my mother's womb. God looked down and He said, here's what I've got for you, Isaiah. You're going to be the prophet that brings the nation of Israel back to me. God has a plan for your life too. It's different from Isaiah's. You're not going to be the prophet that brings Israel back to God, okay? But you might have a neighbor, you might have a family member, you might have workers, co-workers, you might have somebody that God has said, you know what, I've equipped you to reach them, and now I want you to go do it. I've given you gifts of hospitality, I've given you gifts of intercession, I've given you gifts of the Spirit so that you can fulfill that plan. God has a plan in mind. In Jeremiah 1 verse 5, it says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. He goes even further back than Isaiah. Isaiah was known in the womb. Jeremiah says, you know me even before that, God. In your foreknowledge and your understanding, you knew that I was going to come into being before I even came into being, and you had a plan for me. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Wow. Do you know God has a plan for you? He has created you specifically to fulfill that plan. God has something that He wants to achieve in your life, and He's given you everything you need to accomplish that. He's put me and Pastor Mike and Pastor Matt and Pastor Juanita and all the other pastors that we've got in this church into your life to help equip you for that. That's what we're here for. God has equipped you with the tools needed to do the job. So He created you with a plan, and now He's equipped you with the tools needed to do the job. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. You've got a spiritual gift. Now, don't raise your hands, okay? But I wonder how many of you know what your spiritual gift is. I know what mine is. Mine is teaching, pastoring, and those are the two main spiritual gifts that God has given to me. And, you know, it's kind of evident as I exercise those gifts that those are my gifts that God has given to me. What are the gifts that God has given you? Do you know what your gift is? Do you even have a suspicion of what your gift is? You should know that. You should understand that. You should have that in your being. And if you don't, it's partially my fault for not training you in that and not helping you to understand that. But God has given us a spiritual gift to each one of us, and He has equipped us. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says this, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. God's Word. Now, this is a little bit scary to me because I just read a study this week about biblical illiteracy. And people are not reading their Bibles. Something like 45% of people who go to church do not read their Bibles more than once a month. That is disastrous. We've got a plan book. Remember last week we talked about we're on a journey. We need to go in the right direction. We need to have a map. We need to have our GPS unit ready to tell us when to turn and where to turn. That's the Bible. That's the Scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit in us and the Bible in our hands. Magnificent things happen. Great things happen when those two happen together. And they must happen together. I'm Spirit-filled, Pastor. That's all I need. New. You need the Word. You need the unchanging Word of God. What happens in culture when you say, I've got the Holy Spirit and that's all I need, is what we're seeing today, where sin is called good and good is called sin. Because, you know what, God told me that. Well, what does the Word say? I don't care what the Word says. I know in my heart what I feel. And that becomes our God. You need the Word illuminated by the Holy Spirit that's living inside of you, and that will equip you for what you need to accomplish. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. And then thirdly, God promises that you will find joy and fulfillment in spiritual growth. Look, I'll just put it this way. I'll just throw it out there. You can be mad at me later. If you're not satisfied with your Christian walk, you're probably not doing anything to be satisfied about. You're probably sitting there waiting for something to happen to you when God wants us to go out and do the things that He's called us to do, and that's where we will find fulfillment and joy in our lives. It's kind of like waiting for the Reader's Digest sweepstakes. Are you rich? I'm going to be. As soon as that Reader's Digest sweepstakes shows up, I'm going to be richer than anybody, and I'm just waiting here for it. Well, call me when they come, because they ain't coming. Go out and get a job. Earn a paycheck. Do something. See, it's the same thing. God has equipped us to do those things that He wants us to do. It says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to your whole body. That's what God wants us to do. That's why we should spiritually grow. Let me close with a couple of thoughts here, shall we? Number one, I'm going to make some promises to you as the pastor of the church, and this includes all the other pastors here at the church, all of the leadership in the church. But number one, we are going to provide for you opportunities for spiritual growth. We're going to provide opportunities for spiritual growth. There's going to be ministry. There's going to be training. This Sunday morning service is intended to reach out to those that are around us and to make it a safe place for you to invite to church. Wednesday night, we have elective classes that we're going to have and training, and you know, it's all there for you, and we're going to provide you with the opportunities, ministry, all of that kind of stuff to become that full-rounded person that Jesus wants you to do. Now, this kind of bleeds into the sharing part, but one of the things that we're determined to do is to listen to you, to hear what God is speaking to you about, to encourage you in those things. Listen, if you come to me and you say, you know what God showed me, Pastor? God showed me that this church needs a ministry to single moms. My response to you is going to be, how can I help you fulfill that dream? Please don't tell me I'm an idea person. I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm an idea person. I got all the idea people I need. What I need are people who are on fire for God, who aren't content just to see a need, but to fill that need, to do the work that it takes to make that come to pass. We're going to provide those opportunities for you to meet those needs that God is laying on your heart. Number two, quality Bible-based teaching and preaching. I've said this before, but one of the things you can count on when you hear me minister, when you hear Pastor Mike, Pastor Matt, Pastor Juanita minister, we're going to back up everything that we say by Scripture. when you, the reason, one of the reasons we have this overhead is because I pack my messages full of scripture to prove that what I'm saying is true. I want you to know that this just isn't coming out of my head. It's coming from the Word of God. And that it's biblically based, and that's where everything is going to come from here at this church. Number three, we're going to give you nurture, encouragement, and correction. Nurture, encouragement, and correction. Well, I don't know if I want to be corrected. Well, you will. If your child is riding towards a busy street on his little tricycle, you're not going to worry about how he feels if you interrupt his path. You'll worry about that later. You want to save his life. You want to correct him. You want to get him on the right path. So what does all this look like? How is this going to feel? How is this going to look here at North Point when we fulfill these, when we begin to fulfill these? How is this going to look? Well, number one, it's going to be a place, as Rick Warren says, where every member is a minister. You see, ministry is not kind of confined to the people that are up front every Sunday. Ministry is not confined to people who have the name pastor, the title reverend in front of their name. It's open to everybody here. It's open to every person that's here this morning. You are a minister, and what we want to do is to get it into your head, get it into your heart, get it into your soul. I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you are. You're that minister that God has called, and He has specifically equipped you to be that man, that woman, that teenager of God. And by the way, teenagers, all this is for you too. You know, there's no age limit on ministry. It's to be a place that sends out ministry to the ends of the earth. And I mean more than just sending missionaries. We do that. We do that well. I talked about that last week. We do missions well. And we're going to continue to do missions well. We're going to open it up more and talk about our community more. But one of the things that we're going to do is send out ministry to the ends of the earth. When I came to North Point, God began to speak to my heart about raising up missionaries and ministers. And it took 10 years for that to happen. But one of the things that has been happening in the last 7 or 8 years is that we have begun sending out ministers around the world. Do you realize what an accomplishment that is? Do you realize that most churches never raise up one missionary that they send out? We've got a bunch of them. Pam's here this morning. Lola's part of this congregation. Van Riggenwater's are missionaries. They tell you they're not, but they are. You can disagree with me later on that. They've dedicated their retirement years to bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And you are a minister. We sent out Pastor Dennis. We sent out Pastor Dave. We've sent out, we're training ministers. Alex is in training for ministry. There are others. That is unusual in a church of this size. You are part of that. And I want to see regularly that we're sending out missionaries, laying hands on them that you had a part of, because you are part of a growing church, spiritually growing. We're going to make a name for Jesus Christ by the ministers that we send out from this place. And the ministry of North Point is going to be multiplied around the world. And finally, it's going to be a place that is known around the community for its commitment and its compassion. This is something we need to work on. We've done great at worldwide missions. We've done great at sending around the world, Teen Challenge, all of that kind of stuff. We're not going to stop doing that. But we need to be more involved in our community. It's begun with Community Action House having a small part in that. VBS is the beginning kind of birth pangs of that kind of thing. But please don't think of things like VBS and the support of Community Action House and stuff. It's just kind of byproducts of what we're doing. We need to get it within our heart and our soul that that's what we're here for. We're here to change our community. I want people to be walking down the street, and when they ask me where I'm from and I say North Point, they say, "Oh, I've heard of that. You're the ones that do so much around here, aren't you? You're the ones that reach out and touch people's lives. You're that church on the north side that has a heart for Holland." That's what we're called to be. That's what we're supposed to be, and that's what we're supposed to do. But the truth of the matter is, in order to say we will grow, everyone here has to say, I will grow. You can't point at your neighbor and say, yeah, you need to really grow so we can. No, no, no. It's about you. You are the weakest link or the strongest point. But you choose what you're going to be in the body of Christ. Now, we've made a commitment to give everything that you need to make that happen. And now we need a church that just says, I want to grow. I want to be stronger in the things of God. I want to reach out and touch other people's lives. I want to know Jesus more today than I did yesterday. I want to be more like Jesus than I was yesterday. If that's the cry of your heart, you're in the right place this morning. We're going to grow in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we close this time together, I thank You that You have called us to grow. Lord, sometimes growth is painful, but it's always joyful. And God, this morning I pray that if there's anybody here that has never really thought of following You in those terms of growing in Him, that they would have their world shaken this morning. That they would step out of their apathy and out of their contentedness and pursue You with all of their heart. Now, before we close, maybe you're here this morning and you've never really heard anything like this before. And you realize that you need Jesus Christ, that you need to be a disciple of Him and Him alone. And you'd like to make that commitment this morning. I want to encourage you just to raise your hand or slip your hand up or something. Just let me know that you need to be prayed for. I won't point you out or anything like that, but I just need to know that that's you, and I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. Anybody like that here this morning? Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Lord, You saw that raised hand, and God, I believe that there are other hands that need to be raised here this morning. But God, I pray in Jesus' name that You would cause a holy hunger to be born in the hearts of the people that are here this morning. God, that Your Holy Spirit would come and speak to them and say, it's time to grow up. It's time to get older. It's time to mature. It's time to be more than you are right now. I ask You to do that in Jesus' name.